One of the characteristics of St. Mark's Gospel is that he traces very carefully the conflict of our Lord with Satan. And this underlying this story is this same conflict. This is already a turning point. They went out, the Pharisees and the Herodians. Now they hate each other, but they can agree on one thing: Jesus has to be eliminated. Now just imagine the hatred. And so they went out and took counsel with the Herodians against him to put him to death. So already in his public life, early, there are people plotting his death. Why? Well, look in your own heart. I mean, because he cuts across our treasured little projects and our way of trying to look pious and the little rules we set up. telling God, if we keep these rules, you have to too. But I don't think he listens. But I just wonder, because this is, though it's only chapter 3 in Mark, already we have people plotting Jesus' death, which is a theme in Mark, perhaps more than the others. Now, this text from Hebrews about Melchizedek, the king of justice, Melchizedek, and he gave him, Abraham gave him tithes. And the author's going to argue, the lesser always pays tithes to the greater. So Melchizedek in some ways is even greater than Abraham, because he shows forth the mystery of Christ. Then, this is a very Semitic argument. Without mother or ancestry or father, they just mean in the Bible. He just comes in the Bible. Just drops in on chapter 14 in Genesis, and there he is. And this man says, now that already is mysterious and should alert us. And this is the one, then, who was picked up in Psalm 110. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. That's going to be his argument. And Jesus' priesthood is eternal, and it consists essentially in intercession, praying for us. And our intercession should be part of his. That's why it is even more obvious if another priest is raised up after the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become so, not by a law expressed in a commandment concerning physical descent, Levites have to descend from Levites, but by the power of a life that cannot be destroyed. What makes Jesus a priest is the resurrection. Now he's always living, making intercession for us. And that's his priesthood, you see. And that's our priesthood. You know, Father and I and all who share it. It's to bring back here in a physical, historical way, Jesus Christ fixed in the act of love in which he died, in which he shares with us. And that's his priesthood. And it's by the power of a life that cannot be destroyed. That is, he's a priest because he lives forever. He's been raised from the dead. And that's his argument. And therefore, as he's going to say, as we go on with this letter, the old observances are finished. Now we have the new. And the new are all in our Lord Jesus Christ. And the heart of it, as you know, the new law is the Holy Spirit. That's the new law. And so Jesus, you see, from him on the cross comes the Holy Spirit. And that makes this new priesthood, which is a priesthood of in which Father and I have a tiny share. You know, but it's the Lord's priesthood. He points us to perpetuate here on earth what he's doing in heaven. He's surrounded by angels and saints, and he's interceding for his body all the time. And we have a chance to get with that and do it. And that's why when we intercede, we first ask the Holy Spirit to guide us, to put us in step with Jesus' intercession. So when I say now, for what else shall we pray? Well, anything. But try to listen and see what the Holy Spirit is putting in your heart for this intercession, right? We don't know what to pray for as we ought. But the Holy Spirit comes to our aid. And what does he do? He takes that intercession of our Lord Jesus Christ in heaven and puts it in us so that it will exist on earth. And so we share in his priesthood.